Want to just introduce you. I'm excited to introduce to you. Well, a couple things before we get started. Joe wanted to see our kids ministry downstairs because he wanted to make sure it was safe for his daughters to be down there. And I'm showing him how our nice rooms. I mean, I don't know if you've been downstairs, but we have some pretty cool kids rooms. And I'm down there showing him, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, this is all the cool stuff they get to play with if they come down here. And then I realized I left my box cutter on one of the tables, and I'm just like, ah, another fun toy they can play with. We used it last week for one of our object lessons. They did really good with that. And then the other thing, just a testimony of mine, is up at camp on Thursday of this week and the Friday before, they do this giant water fight. It's pure pandemonium. And I'm standing over there. This isn't serious, by the way, so if you're expecting like something deep and spiritual, it's not happening. And I'm watching this thing unfold, and there comes a point where the first week, I don't know if this was pre-planned, Joe, or not, but almost everybody on that mat with the water balloons just began chucking them at Joe and the guest speaker, and I'm like, right on. They know what to do. And then the other thing that unfolds is as it gets wet, this tarp, there's these pools of water that develop across the tarps. And you see the kids running through these pools of water, and then they begin getting these trash cans and buckets and picking up the water of these that's on the ground with these trash cans and dumping it on each other. And the Lord showed me, like, they are literally just pouring used toe juice on each other the entire time. It is so sanitary. I love it. And every kid came out alive. It was a beautiful thing. This week at camp, our speakers at kids camp are here this morning. Just excited to have them. Don and John Codes, and I asked them how to pronounce it before so I didn't mess up, and they are with International Ministries. I'm going to let you guys explain what that is, but if we could give them a warm journey welcome for being here and sharing this morning.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Hello. It is so good to be here, especially to be in the house of God. So we are from Florida, and this is our very first time in Montana, and it is beautiful. But what's more beautiful is the people here. And so I love getting to know you all and meet you. So it is beautiful. But our hearts is children's ministry. John and I will share a little bit more. We both have a calling to reach kids around the world, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to work with Echo Kids, with kids all around the world, especially in oral communities where they do not read their written language. And so we believe that the kids of today need to hear the word of God and need to be able to repeat it and need to be able to share it with generations and with their friends all around the world. So we want the word of God to be echoed in the hearts of many, many kids. And so that is our hearts. And I want to say thank you for your prayers. I love what Pastor Joe said about just praying for kids at kids camp. I'm actually a product of kids camp. I was about 8 years old. John's going to share my story a little bit. But I was about 8 years old at kids camp when God spoke to me. He said, Dawn, I want you to be a missionary. And that heart to be a missionary was planted because somebody prayed for me at a kids camp. And so I want to say thank you, and I want to ask you to pray this week specifically that kids will hear the voice of God that will forever mark their lives, because it will and it can, and I just believe that God's going to do great things this week.
Well, thank you so much. I'm married good, y'all. I just want to let you know I do not deserve that woman over there. But we are so excited to be here. Thank you so much. And good morning, Journey Church. What a beautiful place. I almost didn't want to come in the building. I mean, I'm just like amazed at the views. Like she said, we're from Florida. It's so flat there. I said, my friend watched his dog run away for 3 days. He was like, he's still going. I can see him. But this is absolutely stunning. And thank you, Pastor Dave, for allowing us to come and share our hearts with your people, your congregation. It's such a blessing to be here. We like to take what God has taught us over the years, and like she said, God has called us to be missionaries and calling us to go into different parts of the world, some hard places of the world, to preach the gospel and to train up kids ministry leaders. But when I was a kid, I grew up as a missionary kid. I grew up in the Dominican Republic, and so I am trilingual. I speak English, Spanish, and sarcasm. So any other bilingual people, you speak sarcasm? Fluent? Thank you. God bless you. You're my people. Welcome. So, but when I grew up, I remember that I had a call of God to missions. And I remember in 11th grade, God told me exactly what he wanted for me. At 11th grade, he told me that I was going to travel to different parts of the world and train up kids ministry leaders. Now, my father, who had been a missionary for years, I ran up to him, and I was so excited. I was like, Dad, I know what God has called me to do. He wants me to be a missionary, but not like you. You know, you are a missionary. You've lived in one place for the past, 11 years, built relationships, and have done an amazing thing here, but that's not what God is calling me to do. He's calling me to travel to multiple countries and train up kids pastors. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my father, this proud moment, he puts his arm around me. He goes, my son, that's not even a thing. So that was discouraging, but that was my call. That's how God called me to missions, and I knew exactly what he wanted me to do. But discouragement, speaking of discouragement, why did discouragement get kicked out of the motivational seminar? Kept bringing everybody down. Dad jokes, sorry. Occupational hazard, kids ministry 22. Okay, here's a better one. Why can the bike not stand on its own? It's too tired. Thank you. That's my person right there. All right, we're going to grab lunch later. It was too tired. All right, now we've laughed. But that reminds me, have any of you ever been tired before? Anybody ever been tired? I remember a time that I was tired. I remember I was 28 years old in the middle of a mega sports camp at a church in Pennsylvania. And during that camp, I just kept waking up and my side hurt. There was just this pain in my side, and I was like, what is going on? I don't have time for this. And we were in the middle of this sports camp. These kids are getting saved. They're running around, sucking all the energy out of all the leaders that are there, as kids do. But my side kept hurting, so I just started taking a leave. I started taking whatever I could just to deal with the pain. And I remember, I would go, I would do my part, I would do the opening ceremony, and then I would, find a couch and lay down just to try to get rid of the pain. I was like, what is happening? And it was in that moment that I was like, I do not have the strength to do this. But I stood up, I preached, mega sports camp finished. The next day I woke up and my side was just, it hurt so bad. I called a friend of mine. She was a nurse. And she's like, I think you need to go to the emergency room. So I was like, oh, I ain't got time for this. Went to the emergency room. They did some scans. And the nurse came in. And she's like, oh, so you have cancer. But don't worry, it's the good kind of cancer. And, right? Anybody ever order the good kind of cancer? I didn't see that on the menu at McDonald's. But, yeah, they're like, yeah, it's the good kind of cancer. And 28 years old, I've got these little kids. I'm like, what do you mean good kind? And I did learn what she thought that it was in fact a good kind. It was very treatable, and it goes away after some treatments. And so, yes, in the scope of cancers, it was a good kind. But after doing the biopsies, I went into the doctor a few days later, and they said, actually, what they told you was incorrect, because what you have is a type of lymphoma that is not curable. They're like, it's treatable, but you have about 5 to 10 years max left to live. 28 years old, you get this news. What do you do with that? What do you do with this news? And I remember, it's like, okay, God, we're going to get through this. I started the chemotherapy, and the chemo made me tired. And if any of you have ever been through chemo, it just zaps all of your energy. The doctor's like, well, what we're going to do is we're going to try to bring you as close to death as possible, and we want to kill as many cancer cells and hopefully not kill you. So that's our goal. I'm glad that what they do is called practice, right? Praise the Lord. They're practicing. And that's what I remember. Just one day, I was weeping. I didn't have the energy to take out the trash from the kitchen and put it in the garbage. It was just so weak, so tired. Just so you guys know that in that moment, my God, I know you called me to missions. I know that you had a calling on my when I was 11th grade, and I know that that has never left me. But now there's something that's in the way. This is discouraging. But I have to trust that your ways, you know what you're doing. And God healed me of that cancer. I went through the chemos. It completely went away. It has now been 14 years. I got a scan not a few months ago, and the doctor for the very first time with this cancer said, we don't normally say this word. We call it no disease or no evidence of disease, Ned, but he, for the very first time, used the word remission. And he's like, I think you're in remission because this cancer should have come back by now. So it has been 14 years, and God, I believe, completely healed that because he knows what his ways are. But I tell you all that to say that when God calls you, there's going to be times in your life that you get tired. The call of God is not easy. It can be draining sometimes. Ministry can be draining. But like Dawn said, when God called her at 8 years old, when God, she was at a camp, and God told her she was going to be a missionary. At 8 years old, she ran to her mom and was like, Mom, what's a missionary? She didn't even know what that was. And at 8 years old, God spoke to her that she was going to be a missionary. And she has been through some things. She actually grew up. She became a single missionary. She was on the mission field and actually became a missionary for over 11 years. And she was living in the Dominican Republic. I started as a kid in the Dominican. And she ended up going to the Dominican as an adult. So some of the kids that I knew in high school, they were now working with her. It was just cool how God brought us together. And when we started talking, we realized that we had a lot of similarities, especially in the sense of our calling, because it's such a unique calling, traveling to multiple parts of the world and train up kids ministry leaders. But I remember when I was younger and I started out in ministry, I was this 22-year-old whippersnapper. At a Bible school, I knew everything. Anybody know any 22-year-olds that know everything? Yeah. You don't, by the way, if you're one of those in here. But I remember I was working for a pretty traditional, no-nonsense pastor at this church, and it was my first baptism. Y'all, I was excited. And the guy that's getting baptized, he walks in. He's 7'5". And he didn't just get saved. He got saved. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, I'm going to get baptized. I'm really getting baptized. Like, I am all in. And he was just solid muscle. And me and my skinny little twig arms, you know, I'm looking at him. I'm like, I now baptize you. Now, normally when people get baptized, like they do, I call it the courtesy kneel, you know, where they help you. They bend their knees and you're able to help them. And then they kind of help themselves up. No, this guy did not do that. He was like, I am going to stiffen up every muscle in my body. And when you said go, I'm falling back. So I am baptizing this guy in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He goes down. And I'm holding him, and I'm trying to lift him up, and he's not coming up. I'm like, he's going to drown. He's not helping me up. Finally, I get him up, and it was not wonderful, but we did the job. So I'm getting dressed. Service continues as a 22-year-old, and I see on the list, this is my job, is to turn off the water heater. There's a little switch. All I had to do was that. But I'm a go-getter, you know? I am somebody like I'm gonna be helpful. And right next to that switch is a button that says drain the water. So I decide not only am I gonna save us money by turning off the hot water heater, I'm gonna drain the water so we don't have to do it after service. What I didn't realize, and the reason that they told me not to do that or didn't even mention is that when the water starts draining, it doesn't stop. You can't like stop it mid-drain. When it starts, it goes. And not only that, but it's as loud as a train coming through the sanctuary. So I'm back there, I'm getting dressed, and I go. I'm in the back room, and I'm hearing it, and I can only imagine what they're hearing out there. I did not want to walk out. So I, 10 minutes later, do you know how long 10 minutes is? With a massive train-sounding drain in the background. That was my first experience as a kids pastor. So the good news is, I tell you all of that to say, God, he is not looking for those that are equipped to call. He's looking for ordinary people that are willing to say yes. He called me when I was in 11th grade. He called my wife when she was 8 years old. He called me, and he ended up using me even though I made mistakes, and I had to go through the fires of ministry. I even burnt the carpet. That's for another story at another time, doing an object lesson. I heard you were a kids pastor at one point. Yeah, so I don't do fire object lessons anymore. You do? Okay. God bless you. Teach me how, because I made a big mistake. But listen, God is not calling people that are well-equipped and trained, that have been through the fires of ministry. He's looking for ordinary people like you and me that are willing to say yes to his call, and that is where we are at. So if you have your Bibles, please open your swords to the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to cheat. I already marked it in place. Y'all should have done that. It would have saved you time, even though you didn't know where it was. Now, I love this story. It's a very familiar story. A lot of us have read it before, but I'm going to point some things out. Hopefully, you guys are going to get a word from the Lord, and he is going to do some amazing things. But while you're looking for that, let's pray. Father, I pray that you will be with us right now. I ask that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that as we consume your word, that it will nourish our souls. I pray, God, that you will help us to understand that you have a plan and a purpose for us, Lord, that you want to use each and every person that is here for something great. I thank you, God, that even though we seem so unworthy, you have called us to do amazing things. And we give you this day. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus feeds the 5,000. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up to the mountain there, and he sat with his disciples. Jesus sat down. He was tired. Him and his disciples had just finished a massive season of ministry where people were getting healed, where they were feeding the hungry, where the lost were getting saved. And you know what? Ministry is exhilarating, but it's also exhausting. As you said, the interns, you guys are probably on the verge of exhausted. You understand that ministry. It's so great when you hear these stories, but man, you get tired. Going through chemotherapy makes you tired. Being in kids ministry for 22 years, like I said, with kids just zap all the energy out of you, can make you tired. But it is exhilarating. It is worth it. Jesus and his disciples, they wanted to sit down and they wanted to rest. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted his eyes to see a great multitude coming towards him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread?" That's my Jesus voice, by the way. Kids Church Jesus voice. "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Can we say that together? For he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they amongst so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. There was so much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. So Jesus and his disciples had a hard time of ministry. They were tired. They wanted some rest. And Philip asked, where can we buy bread for all of these people? Here was an impossible task in front of them. An impossible task that the disciples had no idea how they were going to accomplish this. Yet Jesus knew what he was going to do, the impossible. He already knew how. And that's where me and my wife are. We are in a spot where there is something in front of us that feels impossible. We just launched in January. I was kids pastor for the past 22 years. We've been in kids ministry for multiple years. And God is calling us to do something that is overwhelming in all reality. Because did you know that 1/3 of the world cannot read the language which they speak? 1/3 of the world cannot read. Another 1/3, they learn best through visual or oral means. They're what's called an oral learner. Are there any oral learners in here? Thank you. For those that don't understand that concept, here's my question. Anybody ever print out MapQuest? Remember that? 7 pages to get 2 miles down the road, and if you made the wrong turn, you were done. And all the ads on this side. Okay, now how many of you use GPS or GPS? How many of you would rather, okay, if you would rather somebody tell you which way to go, you are an oral learner. You prefer to listen than to read things. How many of you sickos like to read and you learn better that way? I'm sorry, can I say that, church? Okay, you're like, I'm like, if there's a new game, board game, I'm watching the YouTube video. I have no idea what I am reading in there. I'm an oral learner. But these are the people that God has called us to reach. That's over 4 billion people in the world are oral learners. These are individuals that if we gave them a Bible, if we gave them material, it would be as if we were handing them blank paper. And God is calling us to reach these people. Knowing this, how are the two of us going to reach 4 billion people who cannot read in the language which they speak? God, how are we going to train kids ministry leaders in countries where we have not lived, with people that we have no relationship with? God, how are we going to buy enough bread to feed 5,000 people? How are we going to do the impossible, Jesus? But isn't it awesome that we serve a God that already has in his mind what he is going to do? See, we're partnering with an organization called Oral Learners Initiatives. Now, under Oral Learners Initiatives, we're going to be going into places like India and Bangladesh. Those are our first stops in February. We're going to be going there and training up kids pastors to reach their communities. We're going to be working in places like Mozambique, Africa, and Ecuador. We're going to be traveling globally, but we are laying the groundwork of a brand new ministry called Echo Kids. So Echo Kids, we are going to speak, we're going to teach, and they repeat, and they model. We're going to be teaching things that will echo down through the generations in these countries. There's over 6 million villages in the world that cannot read in the language which they speak. 6 million villages. That's a lot of places to go. And God has called us to come in, and we're going to be training up kids pastors and kids leaders in these villages so that they can reach the children of their areas. And this feels like an impossible task in front of us, but we are so excited that God has called us to do that. Because I could go in there, but there's kids that I cannot reach. Because as an outsider, I'll get arrested if I start speaking to the children of these nations. But we train people that have the relationships there. They're going to do amazing things. Romans 10:14 says, then how can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard, because they're oral learners? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? God has called us to go and share the good news and to train up these kids' pastors. But we were at our church, Oceanway Church, in Jacksonville, Florida. And 8 years ago when we got there, there was about 30 kids on a regular Sunday morning, and we had 3 volunteers. After 8 years of ministry, when we left, we were averaging about 175 kids on a weekly basis. We had 80 volunteers serving alongside us. God was doing amazing things. Our kids' ministry was growing. Kids were getting saved. Lives were being transformed, and it was powerful. But I started getting this vision, and I was having a hard time shaking it. Because right where we were, God was doing amazing things. But I kept seeing this boy, and he was sitting on a red clay floor in this wooden shack. And he's sitting on this bench that looks like it's made out of reclaimed wood, and it's kind of leaning to the side. Looks like it's about to fall apart. And when I see this boy, in my vision, I could see him, and he's got this smile on his face. And in this vision, it pans out, and there's a man that is speaking to this boy and is sharing the gospel for the very first time. And that's why the boy is smiling, because he's hearing the gospel. He's hearing the good news of Jesus, and there is a joy that has come upon him. And in this vision, God is saying, who is going to teach that man to reach that child? And even though we were successful, even though ministry was going good, God just started putting that call. He's like, John, Don, it is now time for you guys to go into missions. How can they hear unless someone goes and tells them? You see, but God is not just calling us. Every single person, if you are in this room, you have a call of God on your life. We all play a part of the story of Jesus that started over 2,000 years ago, whether you believe it or not. Every salvation that happened from the moment that Jesus walked on this earth, there is a trail and there is a line throughout the generations that reaches into Journey Church today that you are a part of. And God wants you to continue that story throughout the world. Because Jesus commands us. He wants us to go to our Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of this earth. But what about your Jerusalem? What about right here? Who are you reaching in this community? God is calling you to reach this area. That's why he has planted you here. See, there was this girl at our church, and she started coming to our kids' church. And we're going to call her Hannah. But she grew up in a difficult home. Her mom had special needs. She was mentally unstable, and her father was abusive. And when she came in, her and her siblings, they smelled awful. It was the middle of July in Florida. It's like 4,000 degrees outside, and she's wearing a black hoodie. And she had this, I would assume is a kind of bunny rabbit doll thing that was so filthy, and she clung onto it like it was her life. And when she walked in, she wouldn't look anybody in the eye. And you can tell this girl, there was just something. There was a distance. There was a hurt and a pain in her heart. But when the moment she walked in, our greeters and our security team, they ran right up to her and they put their arms around her. They're like, sweetie, we are so glad that you are here. And this girl, she started, from the moment she walked into our building, she started to feel the love of our community. And thank the Lord that she continued to come to church. But many people saw this girl. She would come in and she would sit in the very, very back, not even where the seats were. She would stand in the back corner. And all the other kids, some of them would avoid her just because of how she smelled. They would avoid her. But our leaders would go and they would walk and they would sit next to her throughout the whole service. Sometimes just being a part of her life, sometimes talking to her. And little by little, as we continue to love on this girl, she started going from the back of the thing to the back row. She got to the place where she was standing up during worship, and she started singing the worship songs. And a little bit later, she started answering the questions, and she kind of slowly moved up to the front. But then Child Protective Services, it was not that intense of a case. Child Protective Services were called on her, and her and her siblings were removed from her family because of neglect. And I was a part of, they contacted me as her kids pastor to be a part of helping her find a home. There was a family, and they already had like 6 kids, and her 3 siblings. So now they had 10 kids living in this home. But they lived with this godly family. This godly family continued to bring them to church. And this light, I don't know how else to describe it. This girl, as she started encountering the love of Jesus, as the people of the church started pouring into her, as she started hearing the gospel, things started to change. And there was just a joy amongst this girl. She was eventually, her parents lost rights because it was discovered that her and her siblings were being abused in every way possible. And her and her siblings were removed from their home, and they were eventually adopted by this family. God used our team to show this girl that he still cared about her and loved her. Her and her siblings grew up, and she just graduated high school. And when she graduated, she came up to me and Pastor Don, and she said, "Guys, I want you to know that God is calling me to be a kids pastor because I want to reach children that were just like me, kids that were lost and unlovable." You guys, that is what reaching your Jerusalem looks like. There are people in this community that need you to be reaching out to them, need you to show them love because they are down. And you know what? They may be smelly. They may look different. They may have made some choices that are not desirable. But they need God to show up and show them that he still has a plan and a purpose for them. But we go back to our scriptures in the 5,000, and we see that Jesus and his disciples had a hard time of ministry. It was a good time. It was exhilarating. But after ministry, Jesus looked at the crowd, And he wanted to rest, but he had compassion on them. And I pray that that's what this church will see, that when you see somebody that's lost, no matter what you're going through, that you will have a compassion over the lost of this community, that this church will be a lighthouse to this area, and that you guys will seek the lost. But in our story, we find that there's actually three different people. There's three different people groups in our story, and I want to ask you, which one are you? You see, the first group of people is the crowd. The crowd showed up. They wanted to hear Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, he started doing miracles. They heard his message. They were able to hear everything that Jesus was doing. And so the crowd came, and they sat on the grass. And as we read, they ate a full meal. If you come and you sit in the pews, listen, as pastors, we love it when people show up to things. We love it when you come to church. We love it when you're not like, oh, it's a beautiful day, I'm going to go hiking. We're like, you're in the house of God. We love that. That is amazing. And if you are part of the crowd and you come and you hear an amazing sermon and you get to experience God's presence, that is awesome. But my challenge is God maybe has a lot more for you than just being a passive observer. You see, you can come and you can be somebody that's in that crowd and experience something awesome, but maybe he wants to take you a little deeper. The next person in this story is this boy. This little boy was found, and he had this minuscule gift. He had these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, but he said, God, I don't have a lot. What are 5 loaves and 2 fish in the grand scope of things? I heard you say that there's a lot of people that you want to feed them here. You can take what I have. You see, the boy represents those who give what they have. And if you're somebody that's in the crowd and that's all you do is you come to church and you sit, maybe God wants you to take the next step and be like this boy. You see, the boy represents people who gave all that they have. But when Jesus took his gift, can you imagine being that boy? Can you imagine being in the crowd and seeing your gift multiplied and everybody around there starts eating? Because back in that day, it was very common for people to miss a meal or two. Food poverty was a big deal. And he gave what little he had. And so he's seeing his grandma eat for the first time maybe in a few meals. He's seeing this boy that bullied him in third grade. He's seeing him eat. He's seeing this gift that he gave be multiplied. And can you imagine every single person that's eating, you're like, that was my fish. That was my bread. That was mine. And God took it and multiplied it. And can you imagine the joy of being that boy? See, we think, well, I don't have a lot to give, so I'm just not going to give anything. But God wants to take your gift and multiply it. Before me and my wife became missionaries, we had always had a call of God of missions. And there was a family that was getting ready to go on the mission field. And this was during the time of COVID. Now, pre-COVID, every single month, we were able to put a little bit of money into savings, and it was slowly growing. But once COVID hit, I remember our savings, we started pooling every month from savings just to buy enough groceries and everything. So we were getting a little nervous because we're seeing our savings account deplete, and we're like, what is going on? And then our friends call us, and they say, God has called us to be missionaries, and we want to sit down and talk to you. And I'm like, they want financial support. I know that that's what they want, but God, we do not have enough money to give them on a monthly basis. But Lord, I understand what it means to be a missionary, and I understand that God, your people need to support them because I want to bless what they're doing because we're not missionaries, so we want to support missionaries. So we discussed it, and we're like, we can give $10 a month. That's what we're going to do. I know it's not a lot, but it's what we can give. And as we're sitting there talking to them, and they're sharing their story, God is like, I want you to do $20 a month. Y'all, $20 a month is nothing, right? $20 a month, I'm like, that's not very much. But when I'm looking at my bank account and I'm seeing what's there, $20 a month was a huge amount. And I'm sitting there, they're telling us what they're going to do, and I'm arguing with God, like, God, I don't have it. I don't know what you mean, $20 a month, how am I going to do this? Well, I guess I could, like, not eat for a week, and eventually we could do it. You know, I'm trying to come up with maybe I can get a second job, I can go mow some yards during the week, I don't know, something. I don't know how we're going to do this. And God's like, give them 20 a month. So as they're talking, I'm like, listen, we were going to give you $10 a month. God is over here yelling at me, and he's telling me I got to do 20 a month, so I'm going to be obedient to him. So we say yes to giving our friends 20 a month. A week later, we are at some friend's house having dinner. And as we're eating, this wasn't a special occasion. We're just hanging out with our friends. They say, hey, we've got something for you. And they give us a card. We open it up, and inside is a check for $2,000. We're like, what is this? They're like, I don't know. God said, give this to you. This is the number. We said yes. We were obedient to God, and he already knew what he was going to do. He wasn't asking for our 20 measly dollars a month. He was asking for our yes. He was asking for obedience. And if you look at this story, the boy said yes, and he agreed to give to everything. And the Bible says they all ate as much as they wanted. Back then, if you think about it, being able to eat as much as you wanted was something that was like a rare occasion. It was something that was like certain feasts were the only time that you could eat as much as you wanted. But you know who else ate as much as he wanted? The boy. God blessed him. He ate as much as he wanted because he said yes. And maybe today God is calling you to do something a little more. Maybe God is calling you to support missions like you've never supported. Maybe God is calling you to use one of your talents of administration to come and help out at the church. Maybe God is calling you to use your gifts to reach the lost here at this church. But the third group of people are the disciples. Now, these are people that have said yes to following God, whatever you want from me. And I love the disciples because they didn't know what they were going to do. They didn't know how God was going to do it. But can you imagine, and I don't know what it looked like, the Bible doesn't say, but in my mind, God gives them, he blesses the food, he hands it to them, they take the bread, and they start distributing it. And I can only imagine they're holding a loaf of bread, and they peel it in half, and poof, poof. Two breads pop out of. They're like, whoa! They've got these two full loaves. Like, here, you want some bread? Here, let me peel that one. Boom, boom. It pops again. And now they've got these instant breads. They're like Chia Pets on steroids that you can eat. And they're like just handing it out. Like, you get a bread. You get a bread. Over in the back. And they're throwing and launching the bread. And every time they peel it, it pops into two more loaves. I don't know what the fish look like. That's kind of gross if I think about it. I don't know, they rip it in half, all the bones. I don't know what that one looks like. It's easier for me to imagine the bread. The other part gets gross in my head. But as they're going, they say yes. In their hands, because of what God has called them to do, in their hands, they see miracles take place. And these are the disciples. Maybe God is calling you to move from the crowd to be somebody that's like a disciple that's able to serve in this area, that's able to serve at the kids' camp and throw food at the kids and make sure they eat. Maybe God is calling you to use your gifts in different ways. He's looking for people that are willing to say yes. You see, I love this. Philip, he's the one that said, I don't know how we're going to get all this bread. Philip didn't realize this, but when he started passing out the bread, God launched a ministry in him. And later, we read in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, that Philip was then anointed to distribute food and care for early Christian communities, especially widows. Later, he's called to feed a eunuch the word of God and preach all over Caesarea. Because he said yes at that moment, that was a pivotal moment for Philip's life, and he launched ministries, a lifetime of ministry in Philip. And Andrew, he was the one that brought the boy to Jesus. Andrew was known as the connector. If you look at it, he brought Peter to Jesus for the first time. He brought the boy to Jesus. He brought some Greeks that wanted to meet Jesus to him. Andrew was like, God, you've anointed me with the ministry of bringing people to you. Maybe God is calling some of you in here to be connectors of people to Jesus. And God wants to help grow a youth group here. And we're believing that in the next few months, you guys are going to have this big youth group because some of you are finding the teenagers that are out there that are lost and bringing them to church, and they're going to get saved. I believe that God wants to use this church, and out of this place, he's calling you to do powerful things for him. I'm going to say one more story and then I'm going to finish, but the power of a yes is so, well, powerful. when you say yes to God, it can change things. There's an individual that was trained under our ministry. He lives in Bangladesh. Now, in Bangladesh, it's a Muslim country, and he was trained to be a pastor in his community. And he went through the training, and he started preaching and seeing kids of his community come to Jesus. And there was this 11-year-old girl. She heard about Jesus. She gave her heart to Jesus. She started living for him. But then a year later, which is very common in this country, she was sold to the village next to them as a wife at 12 years old. This is what's happening in the world today. 12 years old, she's now a brand new wife, and her father-in-law is also the village chief leader. Now, this girl had to make a decision. She's following Jesus. She's already said yes to living for him. But if she tells her new husband and her father-in-law that she loves Jesus, they could kick her out of the family or kill her, and it would be completely within their rights. But yet the boldness that only a child can have, she says, I'm going to tell him, my father-in-law, that I live for Jesus. She gives her heart to Jesus, and now she's telling her father-in-law, risking her life. She says, I love Jesus. I've given my heart to him, and I am a Christian, and I needed to tell you. And the village chief leader says, who is the one that told you this? And she said, there is this pastor at the village over, and he's the one that shared this news with me. He was able to tell me out of the Bible that God loves me. And he said, I want you to get him and bring him. I would like to speak to him. So now this pastor has a choice. Do I go to this village and share the good news and risk my life as well? But this 12-year-old is doing that. So he ends up saying, God, you have called me to do this. This is what I'm here for. He goes to the village chief. The village chief leader is like, what is it that you told my daughter-in-law? What is it? Tell me about this man, Jesus, that you told him about. I've never heard this story before. So for the first time, this pastor starts sharing the good news about Jesus. He starts telling the village chief leader that God loves him, that he died on a cross, that he saves him from his sins, that he is the way to heaven. And what started off in a spirit of anger, this village chief leader, he started to weep when he experienced the love of God for the first time. And he said, would you come and tell all of my people? They all need to hear this story. Now this pastor has planted a church in that city of Bangladesh, and people are getting saved because one pastor said yes to serving a child. One child said yes and asked Jesus in her heart and had the boldness of God in her life, and it transformed everything. Why do we go into different countries and train up kids ministry leaders? Because this girl is making a difference. But what is it that God is calling you to do? Is God speaking to you? Has he been speaking to you about doing something for him? You see, the Assemblies of God, we have this initiative within the next 8 years. Right now we have 2,500 missionaries globally, and we believe that God wants to raise up over 4,000 missionaries within the next 8 years. Maybe there's somebody in here that God is calling you to missions, but you're like, Lord, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not qualified for this. God will qualify you. He will train you. You might have to drain some water in a baptism for 10 minutes and have people judge you, but he will get you to where you need to go if you're willing to say yes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We know that you have called each and every one of us to be part of your mission. I pray that you will show us how we can be faithful in reaching those around us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to say yes to the calling that you have for us. Speak to our hearts right now. Come on, church, let's just ask you just to raise your hands and say, God, are you speaking to me in this moment? Is your Holy Spirit speaking to me? Are you asking me to do something deeper than what I'm doing? Are you asking me to move from somebody that is just sitting in the crowd to be like this boy that gives what I have? And it might not seem like a lot, but God, it's what I have. Or are you asking me to say yes, to serve those around me? Do you want to do miracles in my hands, not because of anything that I can do, but but because you are good and you want to see the lost saved. I thank you, Lord, for your love. We worship you. Amen. Pastor Dave.
Thank you, John, for sharing. Yeah, let's just show them appreciation this morning. Grateful for God's calling on people to share Jesus all over the world. Amen? And it's such a step of faith to step out from what you know and comfortable and stable and all of that and say, yes, God, we're going to go into the unknown. And this morning, I would like our church just to partner with the Codes, and we're going to give them a love offering. And Dan and Laura, you've got the baskets. I recruited usher people who haven't ushered. Our normal ushers aren't. Our professional ushers aren't here. But if you feel a tug in your heart, like, hey, I want to give towards this mission that they're doing. If you're writing out a check, would you make it out to Journey Church and just in the memo, just put the Codes, C-O-A-D, so we make sure that that gets to the right account. But we want to bless this couple as they go out. And worship team, hey, would you want to come up here and get ready too? We're going to close in a song. But I want to do a couple things this morning. I want to pray for this couple, for God's favor over you as you go out. And if you do it, just wherever you're at, let's just put our hands towards these guys and just begin to lift them up. God, I just thank you for your servants this morning. I thank you for their willingness to say, yes, here am I. Send me wherever you want us to go, Lord. And God, I thank you for their availability to you. I thank you for their willingness to say yes. And God, I just pray favor over them wherever they may go. I pray that you would open doors for them that they never imagined possible. Oh God, with governments and other things that they may be working with, would you just open the doors, clear the pathway for them? And I pray for the churches and all over the world that you would just begin to just work through them to reach people for Jesus. Oh God, we ask for a great harvest in this season. And God, I thank you that Journey Church can partner with the Codes today, and I just pray your blessing upon them. I pray first of all for physical health over them in Jesus' name. That as they go into the foreign mission field and all the things that can happen over there, I pray your protection over them. I pray a spiritual protection over them. God, I pray over their marriage in Jesus' name. Keep it strong. Lord, I pray that as they raise their budget, God, would you just begin to provide for them? May streams of income come from places they would never expect. And also, I want to lift up our interns this morning, our Glacier Bible Camp interns. I want to lift them up. I've been up there. They have been working extremely hard. These kids have said yes to Jesus, we'll serve. And they do some crazy things, and they do it with a willing heart. And so, Jesus, right now, I just pray your strength over these interns. God, I pray as they get tired doing ministry, as they get weary, I pray that you would just refresh them with your spirit today. May they feel an energy that can only come from you. And God, I pray that you would just bless them as they serve you, as they say yes to you. Oh God, I thank you for the calling that you have on their lives, wherever they may go from here. God, I pray you would clear the path in their lives, that you would just watch over them. Lord, I pray that you would keep their faith strong in you. And Jesus, we just lift up the Epleys right now. I thank you for these leaders that you've placed in our network to oversee our children and our youth. Oh, God, I just pray that this week, God, as they have been watching over and leading volunteers and pastors and all the crazy that can come with that, but I just pray you would give them a spirit of peace over them, a spirit of calm over them. Give them wisdom to deal with situations that they probably didn't plan on dealing with. And God, I just pray a blessing over that family. I pray your favor upon them. And Jesus, we love you. We're going to play one last song, and as we do that, if ushers, if you would come forward, pass those baskets around again. If you're writing out a check today for the codes, write it out to Journey Church, but in the memo, make sure you put codes.
Never fail.
one more time.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
One more time, say it out.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
And we do that today, Lord. We put our trust completely in you. Thank you for your word today. God, I pray that it spoke to our hearts. And God, I pray that there may be somebody in this room that you are calling. And I pray that they would answer that call. And God, I just pray over the codes this week as they minister to our kids. As they pastor our kids this week, I pray the kids' lives would be changed for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
I trust in God, my Savior.